This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, that was, oh, come on. There's people in the room, too. Good morning, everybody. There we go. It's a little quiet. That's good. Thanks for coming. If you're online, thanks for being on. And we want to do something this morning. Just say hello to everybody, just with a Merry Christmas. Can you do that real quick? And if you're online, will you type that in? Just say Merry Christmas. You have to turn around a little bit in here. We're still in COVID. We're still figuring this all out. But it's good to be here. Christmas is here almost. Hopefully you've done your shopping. Some of you haven't started yet. You have, what, 5 days if you count today. So get on that and get ready. And we want to invite you to something. This year we're going to do something a little bit different because everybody needs hope. And everybody needs to know Christ, and everybody needs to know the reason for Christmas. So we're going to do a Christmas service, Christmas Eve service, a little bit different. We're going to put it and post it on Facebook on Thursday at 4 o'clock. So it'll be on there whenever you're ready to watch it. We invite you to watch it with your family. It's designed for families. It's designed to sit down and just reflect on Christ. It's designed to help you find hope in Jesus. It's designed to help you get ready for Christmas, or you can watch it Christmas Day, because I notice on Christmas Day so many times it's like everything's done and we kind of forget about Christ. So it's going to be on Facebook, and share that with as many people as you can, because people need hope and they need to hear about Jesus. So if you'll do that, look on Thursday on our Facebook page and then share that with others. The other day, our family was eating dinner and we were thinking back on COVID and how it hit. And what's been happening since then, and trying to make some sense of it, we got kind of sidetracked with our younger son, a little bit of a talk about time travel, if you could go back and how that would work. We can't go back in time. It was kind of a fun decision and discussion, but we can't go back in time, but we can reflect on it, right? And we were thinking about 9 months, 10 months now we're into this. On February 16th, I put it in the message about a man named Dr. Li Wanling, who was in Wuhan, who was the one that told the world about the virus and the one who died in February from that disease. And just reflecting on that, it seems so long ago and how the world has changed and so much has happened since then. But we came, as we discussed, to go, what have we learned and what would we do differently? And we really had a good discussion about that. And what we came up with, I think, finally is two things. One is we don't think we could have affected that much. We don't think we would have changed that much. We all kind of felt kind of small and insignificant in the sense, could we really affect any wide-scale change if we could go back at that time? I think the other thing for me was looking back at that time and go, I don't have enough hindsight yet. I haven't had a chance really to get through this. I still haven't figured it out. I still don't see everything that God's going to do, and you're probably in that boat too. We're going, okay, I don't quite have a perspective on this. I haven't quite wrapped my head around this, so I'm not really sure. And so that's the thing. Sometimes you're in the midst of something, we go, I don't know where God's working. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where this is going. And that's okay. There is something called hindsight. It's something that really helps us. And hindsight is simply this. It's understanding an event or situation only after it's happened or developed. In other words, it takes time, right? It takes time to figure something out. It takes time to reflect. It takes time to look back and go, okay, now I get it. Or now I see. Or now I understand what God was doing the whole time. And the thing about Christmas, right? Christmas has been celebrated over 2,000 times now, right? Through the course of history. Sometimes it takes hindsight to look back and go, what does that really mean? And what did it mean for our world? And what did that mean for my life? And today I want to look at, as we continue our series that we're calling Why Christmas, I want to look at that event, and we want to start actually about 9 months before the birth of Jesus, because that's where Luke kind of gets the story going. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, eventually, kind of leave them open, because we're going to be jumping in and out of that. So Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, give you context. God has already sent Gabriel, the angel, to a person named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is beyond the age to have children, she and her husband Zechariah, and yet she gets pregnant. And Luke picks up the story from there. So we're in verse 26. In the sixth month, meaning the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what a sort of greeting this might be. And we're going to kind of pause there and kind of break that down. Okay, so get this story. Gabriel's been sent by God. Gabriel is an archangel. And we're told that Gabriel stands in the presence of God. What an amazing place to be. His name means my strength is God, or God is my strength. And he's already come on mission to tell Zechariah that they're going to have a baby, he and Elizabeth. This is his second mission, 6 months later. And I think about that. All the angels, all of God's plan, it was centered on this one event, right? And it's time. What anticipation that must have been. What kind of like, okay, it's ready. Go. Go, Gabriel. It's time. We're going to put this thing into place. What we've been waiting for all this time, as Luke mentioned, there have been 400 years of silence, and God is breaking that. And says, look, world, we're going to change now. Things are going to be different. And he comes to Mary, and Mary is an interesting person, right? A lot of people look at Mary differently. I just want you to think of her as this young girl from a town of Nazareth, about 300 people. It's in the hill country. It's in Galilee. It's near the Sea of Galilee, but it's not on it. It's not a place people really look forward to living. There's this small Jewish remnant there, about 300 people again, so it's not a very significant place. But she's engaged to a person who is from the house of kings. But he's not a king, he's a carpenter, right? We know Joseph was a carpenter. And she's just going about her life. We don't know exactly what she was doing, but here comes Gabriel, and he says something to her that shakes her up. He tells her two things. First, you're favored. You're favored. And the second thing he says to her is, God is with you. And it shook her up. And it says she was troubled. She didn't get it, because here's the deal. I don't think she felt that way. I don't think she felt favored, and I don't think that she felt that God was with her, because she's in the middle of nowhere. She's just got a kind of average life. We don't know everything about her, but she is probably listening to this, and it says she was troubled. She's going, I don't get it, God. Are you really with me? Are you really here? I'm kind of questioning that. And have you ever done that yourself? Have you ever gone through something where you're going, God, I don't know if you're really with me or not. I don't see you. I don't feel you. And maybe COVID's that time where you haven't felt God's presence and you're not sure he's there, and yet you know that he's with you. This was a promise that God keeps repeating, that he's with us, he's with us. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. He told Joshua that in Joshua 1:9. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We wrestle with that sometimes, don't we? God, you're with us wherever we go. Isaiah, to the exiles, God speaking to him, said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, even in the midst of what you're going through. To another group of exiles, Zephaniah was told to tell him this, the Lord your God is in your midst. He's there, a mighty one who will save. It sounds like the Christmas story, doesn't it? God doesn't change. He's with them then, he's with us now. And later on, after Mary has Jesus and he grows up and he's prepared to leave this world, he says to his followers, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age, even in the midst of everything going on. We sometimes have to respond, or almost all the time, with faith instead of feelings. Right? We may feel like God's not listening. We may feel like he's not around. It may feel like lonely time, but God says, I am with you. And by faith, we believe that, even if we don't get it, because hindsight will tell us that he has been with us all along. I've been having a lot of discussions with people through this time. You probably have too, and one word I keep hearing over and over and over is the word disconnect. I feel disconnected. I feel disconnected from the world. I feel disconnected from my family. I feel disconnected from my church family, and that's the case that we have, right? Some of us are online. Some of us are in the room. We're scattered. And I hear this from church leaders all over the country. I've talked to pastors at their churches. I've talked to leaders of pastors who are hearing from several thousand from different people all over the country. This is the word that keeps getting repeated. They feel disconnected. They feel alone. Counselors have reported that there's been a 90% increase in people dealing with anxiety, a 60% increase in people dealing with depression. And there's been a 34% increase in couples that are dealing with feelings of divorce or plans for divorce. That the first couple of months of COVID, people kind of, you know, started spending more time together. Things were going well in marriages. But after a period of time, maybe being together too much, now they're thinking, I don't know if this is going to last. People are wondering about their jobs, what's going to happen with them. And so there's a lot of angst out there. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. There's depression. And right now, it's hard. It's hard to see where all this is going because we're in the midst of it and we don't have hindsight. And hindsight does give insight to understanding. Mary was by herself when Gabriel came. I always wonder, why didn't Gabriel come to the whole town of Nazareth? It would have made things a lot easier because it looks like they just shun her. And it looks like in the story, her family just shuns her, right? They believe she's pregnant by Joseph, and they don't know. But we don't see her family. We don't see his family anymore in the story. And I always go, Gabriel, why didn't you come to the whole town? Why didn't you let everybody know? And it was something for Mary to kind of work through, that Gabriel came to her. At the time, she was troubled. 9 months later, when Jesus is born, she probably begins to think with some hindsight, hey, God was with me the whole time. I see his work. Here's the baby. When the angels came, right, it was like, okay, yeah, God, you are with me. I get it. When the shepherds came, yeah, I get it. And then they think the wise men, who Matthew includes in the story, but if you read it closely, probably not there the time that Jesus is born. But when they arrive, Mary must have thought, yeah, God, okay, you're with me. You've made this happen. When they gave her gifts, like belated Christmas gifts, she had the money and Joseph had the money so that when Joseph had a dream saying go to Egypt and get away because Herod's going to come and destroy the children of your village, they had money, they had everything they needed to go away. And at that point, they probably said, yeah, God is with us. It took a while, but we're starting to really see this, starting to figure this out. And then we know that Luke wrote the book that we're reading about 60 A.D., and he tells us that he went to eyewitnesses. One of them had to be Mary because he gives us word for word what Mary heard and what Mary said. And I think at that point, whenever he interviewed Mary and whenever he wrote down what she said, Mary had gotten to the point in her life where she says, I get it. Looking back, I see that God was with me. At the time, I was scared. At the time, I was troubled. I didn't understand it. But now I get it. Here's what I think is going to happen. In the midst of 2020, it's hard to see, isn't it? I think a lot of us are just bouncing around, God, I don't get it, and it's because we're in the midst of it. But I think a year from now, I think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, God's going to continue to pour into us. He's going to remember this. Remember when that happened? I was there in the midst of it. You didn't understand at the time. You weren't sure of it, but I was always with you. And we're going to look back with hindsight, which gives insight, and go, I get it. I get it. I told you last week that we had gone to a funeral, and it was a wonderful funeral. It was graveside. It was socially distanced, all that thing, for a man named Grady Cole. And his daughter is here at our church. She's been with us for a long time, just a big, big part of the church. Her family has been. But his story really intersected with our story. In 2004, I was a school teacher in California, and I was in seminary, and we were wrapping up, and I was going through, God, what do you want us to do now? And in January of 2004, I went to the principal of my school, and I said, God's calling us away. I don't know where. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to be able to sign a contract for 2005. I'll sub as long, but we don't know what God's going to do, but we're following Christ in this. So we began to go through the process of this, send out resumes, didn't hear from anybody. And it's really easy to make a decision when you're getting a paycheck. It's really hard when the paycheck stops. And you're going, God, I thought you said this. I'm wondering if you're still with us through this. And it got longer and longer, and it was like I've become Mr. Mom at home, and that was hard. I love being with the boys, but it was like, okay, God, it's starting to get a little bit scary now. And then we heard about a job opening here in Roll Hall for a discipleship pastor at a church over here, Jefferson. It's called Jefferson Christian Church. Now it's Jefferson Church of Christ at the time. And we go, okay, God, I don't know anything about Roll Hall. I don't know anything about that area. Is that something you want us to check out? And so my mom had cancer, and she was going through a really difficult time at the time. So we said, let's fly back. Stacy and my wife and I said, let's fly back. Let's go see her. And then if we can, we'll go up there and just check the church, see if we want to apply there. Well, we made the plans. We came home. My mom actually was doing better. My mom, we thought was going to pass away at the time, but she lived for 13 more years. It's kind of an amazing thing that God did. And then we decided we'll go up to the church, check it out. So we drove up to Roll Hall, drove through Winston-Salem, saw kind of the seedier sides of town, and weren't sure if this is where God wanted us. We went to the church. I still remember the service. It was a really cool service. I still remember some of the songs that we heard. Still not sure what God was doing, what he was saying. And somebody said, well, it's homecoming. Why don't you come have lunch with us? Why don't you come eat with us? I'm kind of an introvert, so it's kind of okay, we'll do that. You know, walk into a church, we don't know anybody. And they had it in the gym, and we're like, you ever had this thing where, like, where do I sit? You ever have that problem? You walk into a room and go, I don't know where to sit or who to sit with. I don't know anybody, and this is kind of weird. And we saw this man sitting at a table by himself, and he was an older man. It looked like, well, he's alone. We'll go sit with him and make him feel better. That's kind of my thinking. What I didn't know was his family was all in line getting him food, and he was the one holding the table. But we sat down, we introduced ourselves, and then we found out his family was all coming. But they had two seats. They said, why don't you sit with us? And that was Grady. And he was so kind to us and so generous. He asked us who we were, why we were there, and what we were doing. And we couldn't say we were here because we wanted the job. I mean, it was kind of weird. So we just said, we're checking out the area, see if God wants us to be here. And he told us how good of an area it was. And we got to meet his family and said, this is cool. We think God is saying to come here. It was just one step, but still, we were so close to it, we weren't sure. But then the job was offered. Later, we did come back and apply. We did interview, and then God used that to bring us here. We were there for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then we planted Bridges. We've been here ever since. At this point, from 2004 to now 2020, we have hindsight, which gives us insight, and we can look back and go, I see that God was with us. Didn't know at the time. And we didn't know how God would use a man like Grady to help us make that decision, but God was there. It's in the small things, right? It's that introducing yourself to someone new. It's starting something different. It's trying something else in the midst of something like COVID. It's getting a different perspective and a different look on things. And we look back, again, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and go, oh, I get it. Now that I have hindsight, I see that God was with us at every step. I didn't get it at the time. I didn't know it at the time. Mary didn't get it at the time. But looking back, she understood. God was with her. The story continues, just like our story continues. Pick it up in verse 30. It says, the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Because this is kind of scary sometimes when God speaks to us, right? When he reveals himself. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Second time she hears that. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which is, in their language, Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who has been called barren. And then he says this line, this statement, this thing that you should all just kind of just let it soak in. For nothing will be impossible with God. And that's one of the most powerful things that we hear in Scripture. As we look at this, and we're going to come back to verse 38 at the end, Gabriel begins to lay out the plan. So this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a son. And he's going to be the Son of the Most High God. That was their highest statement of who God is. God, the God of the universe. They would have thought back to the Old Testament, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the great God of the universe. He's going to be the Son of God, and he will be great. And that word great means significant, means extraordinary. You haven't been forgotten. Not only haven't you been forgotten, but the greatest one ever to live is going to be born to you. And he will have a throne that will last forever, and it lasts through the day. And she's probably going, I don't get it. And she questions this, and she says, I don't understand. How is this possible? There's two reasons that she said this, I think, two explanations. One is she doesn't believe. How? I don't think so. And there's some people that read that into her line, how is this possible? How is this going to work? I don't read that at all. I get this out of her. I don't understand how it's going to work. I think I trust you, but I don't understand it. I don't get it. How is this going to be possible? Like, what's going to happen? Because she's a virgin. She's a young woman. She's not married at the time. She's engaged. I don't get this. What are the details? Have you ever wanted God to give you the details?
He shows you he's going to do something, but you go, how's that going to work, Father God? What's the steps you're going to take? Who you're going to use? We want to know it all in advance. I think that's what she's saying. And here's the deal. Even with hindsight, I don't get what God does. People ask me like these kind of detailed questions, like, what are the genetics of Jesus? You ever dealt with that before? What are the genetics of Jesus? I don't know. We know genetics now. The Holy Spirit comes on her, and it says like a shadow, like a cloud. Did he have genetics of God? Did he have genetics just of Mary? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. But here's what I do know. People every day are born by parents who don't understand genetics, right? My parents probably didn't understand genetics when I was born, but I'm here. I'm proof positive it still works whether you understand it or not. Billions of people are born every day without understanding genetics. They just are born. God makes it possible. I don't know exactly how a car works. Some of you guys could tell me everything. Some people have no idea how a car works. You get in, you turn the key, it goes. You put gas in it. That's all they know. But you can drive a car without understanding how it works. You can fly in an airplane without understanding aerodynamics, right? You can eat food in a restaurant without understanding how they put it together. We do these things all the time. Mary did not understand how God was going to do this, but that wasn't important. She understood he could do it. God used two examples to kind of prove this to her, and they're very interesting examples. One is Gabriel tells her, hey, Elizabeth, your relative is already 6 months pregnant, and she was beyond birth years. We don't know how God made that happen. We just know he did. He healed Elizabeth. He made it possible for her to have a child. And God says, look, here's someone that could not conceive, and she's going to have a baby, just like you. She was too old. You're a virgin. Neither one of those stop God, because with God, all things are possible. The second example he kind of uses is in wording. The wording is, for nothing will be impossible with God, right? That's what he tells her. And it's a reflection back on Abram. Remember the story of Abram? He was too old to have children. Sarah was too old to have children. God kept saying, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child. And then they got to the age where they couldn't. And all the time God is saying, you're going to have a child, it's going to work. And they must have been going, I don't see how this is possible. I don't see how it's possible. The angel came to Sarah and said, you're going to have, she's over listening, and she laughs, right? She laughs at it. No way. Not going to happen. I think it's funny. You may look at 2020 and go, there's absolutely no way anything good's going to come out of this. No way. And you might laugh. This is over. This is beyond. We're never going to get back. What's happened is kind of messed my life up. It's derailed my plan to set me in the wrong direction. We laugh at things like that, don't we? Because we say, God, I don't see how it's going to work. And the angel who comes to Sarah says this in Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's an echo. It's an echo of what Gabriel says to Mary. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you in about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. It's going to happen because with God, all things are possible. And we know that Isaac was born. And what does Isaac mean? Laughter. It's like God was poking fun at him. It says, you laughed at me because you didn't think this was possible. Now you're going to call him Isaac. And every time you call his name, you're going to be reminded that I can do the impossible. And you're going to name the baby you're going to have married Jesus. And every time you call his name, you're going to be reminded that I can save. All things are possible with God. I believe, I don't know how, I don't have to know how, I believe that some things are being birthed in 2020 that are going to affect the world for the kingdom. I believe things are being birthed in your life, they're going to affect 2021 in a way you're going to see new life. Because both of those stories deal with new life coming from people that should not have had new life. I don't know how. I don't know what. I believe God is faithful. And I believe that when God says he's with us, he means it. And I believe that when he says he's going to save us, he's going to save us. And I believe he's going to do some things that we won't understand for years. But when we have hindsight, we'll have insight and we'll go, yeah, I see it. Now I see it, but the moment I couldn't, at the moment it was hard, at the moment it was scary, at the moment I was anxious, at the moment I was depressed, but now that I'm through, God used all of that for something amazing. I heard a story from Greg Crochelle the other day. He's the pastor of Life Church with over 36 campuses around the world. He said in the mid-2000s, they had this big dream that they were going to connect people in communities around the Bible through the web. They're going to build a website. It's going to connect people all over the world. They spent all this money on it, put all these people on it, and it flopped. Completely flopped. And they were going to have to call everybody in the room, and they're going to have to tell everybody, we're going to have to let you go because this isn't working. And we wanted to commit all our resources to it. We wanted to see community built, but it just isn't working. And one day, one of the staff members came in before they had the meeting. He says, you know what? Apple's just come up with this thing called apps. And I don't really understand what they are. We haven't really seen this because this is mid-2000s now, okay? I think this might work. And so if you've ever used YouVersion on your phone, if you've ever connected through a verse, if you ever connected through a Bible study, and we have a lot of people at Bridges that are doing YouVersion Bible studies with other people, building community, 450 million people are using YouVersion today all over the world to connect with God through his word, connect through community. When it looked like it was about to die, God birthed something amazing that's affecting the whole world, and it's underground. And you know what happened in year 2020? It blew up even bigger because you can't meet face-to-face, so people are using it a lot more. And God knew in the mid-2000s that he was going to give birth to something that would affect millions. I don't know, again, what God's going to do in your life, but I believe he's going to do something. Christmas tells us God is working even when everything's silent, and he's working in you even when you don't feel him. And even when you don't understand it, he's there, and he is working behind the scenes. 10 months after this announcement, 9 months maybe, Mary gives birth to Jesus, and she saw the impossible happen in her own personal life. 30 years later after that, she saw her son crucified on a cross. She witnessed it. And 3 days later, she saw God do the impossible again, as Jesus rose from the dead. And 60 years later, when she sat down with Luke to tell him the story, with hindsight, she goes, at every step, I saw God do the impossible. What's the first miracle Jesus did? Do you remember? He converted water into wine. Who asked him to do that? Mary did. And why did Mary ask him to do that? Because she knew even in the mundane things of a wedding, small things like that, that God could do the impossible. And she didn't give him details. She didn't tell him how. She didn't need to. She didn't need to understand how he was going to do the chemistry of turning water into wine. I don't get it either. It didn't matter. Jesus knew. The very first miracle he ever did was because his mother asked him to do it. Because she had hindsight now, and she understood with insight what God could do. God doing amazing things. The last verse in this passage that I want to look at, in verse 38, kind of tells us how to move forward. Mary's answer, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her because he had nothing else to say. That's what I'm going to add in. Mary said, oh, got it. I don't get all of it. I don't understand what you're going to do. You told me I'm going to have a son. I'm just going to be your servant. I don't need to know the details. I don't need to know how. You said it, may it happen exactly like you want it to, God. And it's almost like dropping the mic and walking away. Gabriel was done, right? I've done my job. Mary's ready. Her heart's ready for this to happen. I can leave. I think for us, as we wrap up 2020 in the next week or so, it's almost the same thing. Okay, God, you're going to birth something out of this. I don't know what it is. You're going to make something happen. Because here's our hindsight on this whole situation, right? Here, if I had to give you like one thing to wrap this up with, this is what it is. God is with me and he can do the impossible. It's a simple statement. God is with me and he can do the impossible. That's what I want us to take away with. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're going to see, God is with me and he can do the impossible. Do you believe that? Do you have someone in your family that doesn't know Christ? And you may have written it off already, written them off. And you may even laugh if somebody says, you know what, he's going to become a Christ follower. You're like, no way, not that person. That's not how Mary would approach it. She would have said, I'm your servant. Make it happen the way you're going to do it. Do you face a financial problem? You're going, I don't see how you're going to fix this, God. A relationship problem, God, that relationship's done. I don't know of anybody else that I can ever get with again. I don't think that's going to happen. My dream is gone. 2020 killed it. But are you like Mary, say, God, I don't necessarily understand it, but I believe you're with me and you can do the impossible. God, my heart is just quiet. And there's depression maybe or anxiety, and I don't think I can ever feel life again. But I'm going to be your servant, and I'm going to trust that you're with me, and I'm going to trust that you can do the impossible. That's how Mary approached the time, and we see what happened with hindsight, all the things that God did. So as we close in prayer, there's probably something there that you're dealing with that just looks impossible. There's probably something that you're dealing with that looks scary or looks frightening. There's probably something you're dealing with that you're just not sure. You have uncertainty. And it's that time to kind of approach it like Mary. God, I'm your servant, and you're with me, and you can do the impossible, so I have hope, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see what you have for me. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited. I'm filled with a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy because of it, and I'm going to look forward to it. Let's pray together. Father God, in the midst of this time, with everything going around us about COVID and just life. Life is hard anyway, and then you add these extra layers on it. It's just not easy. And yet, I think you still come to us, and you still say to us, we're favored. We don't know how. It's only by grace. And you still say to us, I'm with you. And you still say to us, with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for me? You're constantly repeating those things. So we take whatever it is we're dealing with, whatever's in our heart, whatever the anxieties are, whatever the obstacles are, whatever the challenges are, we put those into your hands and we simply say, we're your servant. May it be as you speak it to be, not as I understand it to be or think it might become, but as you want it to be, as your will says, may it happen. And may we learn to trust you. And I pray that in the years to come, with a little bit of hindsight, which gives us some insight, that we'll understand that you are always there. You are always working. When nothing seemed to be working out, you were working underneath. You have a plan, and you're going to work your plan for our good and for your glory. So, Father God, in the midst of this time, give us hope, which allows us to see beyond our circumstances and see you who are above all things. We give you our dreams. We give you our lives. And we look forward with anticipation and with joy about this Christmas season. May we take our eyes and our focus and put them on Jesus Christ, that baby who came just as you said he was going to come, the Savior of the world, Yeshua, the God who saves, Yahweh saves. And in him we put our hope. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We want to thank you for being here in the room. Thank you for being online. We're continuing to celebrate Christ. We're here to continue worshiping, so we're going to sing one last song. And as we do that, just kind of lean in with your spirit wherever you are. If you would like to talk to us, either here in the room or online, connect with us through our email or online, just come see us, and we'd love to help you find the hope of Christ. So let's continue to worship.